Welcome into Fantasy Focus Football. Today's show is presented by Geico. Switch to Geico, see all the ways that you could save. My name is Daniel Dobb, joined by my two best friends, Mike Clay and Field Jades, like we always do on a Monday. How you guys doing here? We are about halfway through the football season now with just a Monday night football game left, Mike.
Okay, can I answer now?
Yes, you can now answer.
How you doing now? I'm so sorry.
I had to get that last little bit in. I apologize.
Yeah, I don't know, but I'm looking at the video. At least someone's bringing some color to the show, okay?
What?
I'm bringing some shine.
Daniel is bringing some gradients to the show.
Yeah.
Is that correct? Is that what they call it?
I believe gradients? It is a gradient, yes.
But don't the Falcons have gradient uniforms? I think they do. More on the Falcons just a few minutes, by the way, people. And I'm fired up this morning. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah,
you are. Wearing blue and black because... I'm boring, apparently. According to Mike Clay sources, I'm boring.
Neon orange is what I'm bringing.
Which eraser is that paying homage to?
It's the City Chevrolet. Rick Hendrick owns this down in Charlotte. You might know it if you've seen the Days of Thunder movie. It's the main sponsor in that movie, but it's a real dealership. So just supporting HMS. They had two drivers in the NASCAR championship yesterday. They did fall short. Shout out Ryan Blaney won the NASCAR championship. Good dude. Happy for him.
Yeah.
Family of racing for sure. So, shout out to them, but still supporting my guy.
I have a piece of feedback.
What's up?
You could have said however many words that was that were entirely a lie, and I would have believed you because I know not a thing about racing. All I know is Ricky Bobby. I know Jeff Gordon, the Rainbow Car. Okay, that was about 15 years ago. He's probably been done for about 15 years.
Yeah, he's higher up at HMS now. Yeah.
Both the Earnhardts. Love Dale Jr., of course. He's great fantasy player. Now a great podcaster as well. Anyways, he football is. Time?
Yeah.
Let's talk football.
Yeah, let's do it.
Guys, week 9, there were a lot of things that happened, but none I think that were more exciting than watching a rookie quarterback go out and put up an unbelievable career day, not just for himself, but literally historic within the NFL.
Yeah.
CJ Stroud, 470 passing yards field and 5 touchdowns. What do you even say about this kid?
I'm so happy for Texans fans, by the way. That's where I would start. I'm happy because the Texans made a big bet on CJ Stroud because while they technically took Stroud at pick 2 and traded up to pick 3 to take Will Anderson, it basically was a package deal. We want to get the best defensive player and the best quarterback in our eyes. They seemingly landed the star quarterback of this draft. 470 passing yards. No rookie has ever thrown for more than that. 5 passing touchdowns. No rookie has ever thrown for more than that in a game.
It's incredible.
Absolutely incredible. And this now marks the 4th 20-point game for CJ Stroud in 8 games this season. So half of his games, he has gone up over 20 fantasy points. Now, this will end up being the first time that he will finish inside the top 10 for a given week. Not a whole lot of rushing upside, but when we talk about players who don't run the football a ton, we need them to prove that they are surgeons as passers who can torch you no matter who you are. And in the case of CJ Stroud, really no matter who he has around him.
Yep.
Noah Brown went off for 138 receiving yards yesterday, Mike. We may have found ourselves the next great surgeon amongst fantasy quarterbacks.
I agree with you. And look, 5 passing touchdowns in this game, had 9 in his first 8 games. Yep. And like, obviously, he'll come back to earth to some extent. But shout out to ESPN's Stats and Info Department's EPA, because they were sort of all over this in terms of the Texans looking really good in EPA, but settling for a lot of field goals. Mm. And I wish I was more aggressive in buying into that and saying, you know what? They're kicking a lot of field goals. At some point, that's going to turn.
Yeah.
They're going to start turning them to touchdowns as Stroud gets a little better and progresses. Because it was there. It was on the board. I think there were 6th in offensive EPA coming into this game. So when throwing the football. So Stroud, I'm with you. Looks like the real deal. This should be a guy that, even without a lot rushing-wise, should be a back-end QB1. I'd say a worse going forward this season. He's averaging more fantasy points per game than Patrick Mahomes
is now this season. Yes. It is insane that he has done that. And by the way, with these two young receivers that really matter the most here are Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Nico Collins already has a career high in terms of receiving yards. This is just his 3rd season. He hasn't played a ton prior to this.
Yep.
He's a real keeper. And Tank Dell, while his target share over the past 4 games has been quite a bit down compared to where it was in the first 4 weeks, I am maybe putting more stock into the idea that maybe this is just a liftoff game for the entire Texans offense. I think both of these guys, certainly Nico Collins, but Tank Dell might have a chance to sneak into our top 30 in a bunch of weeks going forward because he is the real deal and CJ Stroud is awesome.
Yeah, and by the way, Nico Collins' targets are not great either as of late. So I have some mild concerns here about a little bit of that, we'll call it the sometimes we talk about it with the 49ers, certainly with the Chiefs, like spread it around element. Because keep in mind, no Robert Woods either. And I don't think Noah Brown, who, by the way, beat out Tank Dell for the slot job to open the season, I don't think he's going away. Woods will be back soon. Dalton Schultz's target shares have been over 20% like three or four games in a row.
Yeah, to put a number to that, by the way, 32 targets in weeks one through four for Nico Collins, 21 over his last four games. So eight to a little over five.
That's my concern. It's great for the Texans. It's great for CJ Stroud. It might not be great for fantasy. I think you're going to have some boom bust elements. So we might pick out some 49ers, as you like to call them, from this offense. I think they would be, so they're essentially, you start them all, right? It would be Nico, and Tank Dell, and Dalton Schultz, and you're going to take some down weeks, I think.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, there still is, I don't want to totally make one game a reflection of what is going to guarantee to be every single week, but if you know that this is the ceiling, or maybe not the ceiling for CJ Stroud, but at least, you know, close to the ceiling for CJ Stroud, it's really intoxicating. You want to start him every single week.
Absolutely, it is. And I'm fully with you, Mike. That was one thing that I was going to touch on, was the idea that within this offense, it's not like he has one guy that he has locked on to that has seen 15 targets. He's figuring out what defenses are giving him and spreading it out to all of those wide receivers. Yeah, so there's a little bit for everybody going on.
By the way, getting nothing from his run game. You hear that all the time. They're struggling passing because they can't get anything out of their run game. That's nonsense, man. Like, when you're playing like this in the passing game, it doesn't matter what you're getting out of the running game. It's unbelievable.
All right, let's talk about a running game here, guys.
No, because he doesn't run the ball.
All right. Field, I'm gonna lay out. I'm gonna say, I've said a bunch of stuff about Arthur Smith. I got more I can say, but I want you to take the floor here, because we've watched Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts and Drake London, who didn't play this week.
Yeah.
So many people seemingly be misused by these Atlanta Falcons, at least from a fantasy perspective. What are we supposed to do here in week 9?
We're supposed to be mad. You're supposed to be pissed off right now. Mm-hmm. You're supposed to be pissed off that Bijan Robinson, the 8th overall pick in the draft, with this skill set that is undeniable, is being criminally underused by his own team. That, by the way, now is a losing record. There are no more excuses. Hey, we're playing good ball. We can get by with the formula, because it's not working anymore.
Yeah, they lost to two standout superstar teams with good quarterbacks. Though,
I mean,
right?
Of course, right. I mean, Josh Dobbs, more on him a little bit later on, is considered basically the Patrick Mahomes of the NFC now, right?
And exactly.
And then who was it the week before?
I don't know, but another backup.
Yeah, that's right. Correct. Here's the point. Bijan Robinson. Let me just take you to a sequence yesterday that tells you everything you need to know about the Bijan Robinson experience. Mm. Falcons force a turnover.
Yep.
Return the ball to the 1 yard line. Mm-hmm. First and goal from the one. Mm-hmm. First play, they had called for a false start, but Bijan Robinson not in the game. Second play, pass to Jonnu Smith. Third play, Jonnu Smith, tight end, by the way. Jet sweep to Jonnu Smith.
Jet sweep.
As one
around. Right. Yes. As one does. So, and then third and goal, Tyler Allgeier stuffed for a loss. Bijan was not on the field for any of those plays. Bijan Robinson now has one goal-to-go carry this entire season. We are halfway through the Falcons season, more than halfway, and he has one goal-to-go carry. Nope. He has fewer goal-to-go carries than Pierre Strong, Tony Jones Jr., Hunter Lepke, who plays fullback for the Cowboys. He's a fullback, and he has more goal-to-go carries than Bijan Robinson does. The excuses are up. There is no way to describe what the Falcons are doing with Bijan Robinson other than negligence of the highest order. They don't do enough with Kyle Pitts and Drake London, but frankly, we've wasted enough energy over the past 2 years about those two players. It's Bijan's time. He deserves all the energy right now. Not him. The way he's being utilized. It's embarrassing.
No, you're right. I could say all of that again. I don't need to. You just nailed it. So you're exactly right.
What are we doing?
I'll put a fantasy spin on it for Bijan, because what do we do with him now is the question. Three top 15 fantasy weeks in his first four games. Zero in his last five. 13 or fewer fantasy points in all five of those games. And by the way, Tyler Allgeier, 3.2 yards per carry. Not very good.
No,
I know
it's
some
not.
Of that's, you know, eating the clock, that kind of thing. 5.0 for Bijan. It's not like he's playing poorly and Allgeier's killing it, right? It's just
eighth overall pick on a running back. Mm. When was the last time he had 20 touches in a game?
Has he had it yet?
Week two.
Week two. Barely, he would have barely gone over that
mark. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. By the way, four Falcons had more than four targets in this game. Jonnu with seven. Kadarius Hodge with six. Van Jefferson with five. Kyle Pitts with five.
Yeah, normal stuff just here, Mike. Good stuff.
That's what it looks like for a team that just doesn't have good skill guys in a rebuild. The Falcons have those guys, right? They should be funneling targets to them, kind of like the 49ers do and other teams that have good skill guys. The Eagles being a great example of that. Not much depth, but they have a few superstars and they get the ball to them. I'm with you. I will say this. Cardinals this week, third most fantasy points to running backs. Gives you some optimism to stick with
Bijan. Bijan's now projected for 9.4 points because of the matchups.
This isn't even about running backs. This isn't about Bijan. This is about the way that Arthur Smith utilizes them. And I don't want to be this guy. I'm going to do it for 2 seconds. We talk so much about how the Lions wasted a first-round pick on Jahmyr Gibbs, who's now averaging 16 fantasy points a game as a top 10 running back, mind you. And he's got a coach in Dan Campbell that loves to utilize him and run the football. Meanwhile, Bijan Robinson, we're not getting any of that same love. I got receipts for all that we wasted on everybody. Why are we not doing the same thing with Bijan and Arthur Smith? Because this isn't a Bijan thing.
Yeah.
This is an Arthur Smith thing to me.
Yeah, it's therapy right now, by the way. Mike gave us, I appreciate Mike giving us a fantasy spin. I know that people are here to ask, what should they be doing with Bijan? As mad as I am, the answer is I'm going to continue to start Bijan because I'm telling you, when I watch him, I think about maybe two or three other running backs in the entire NFL that have a better skill set right now than Bijan. Yeah. It's like Christian McCaffrey, maybe Austin Eckler, like maybe he's in the category of like a Travis Etienne already in terms of how special this kid is.
That makes it so much worse.
You have to play him.
That makes it so much worse.
Plus a good insurance back because, you know, if Algier gets hurt, then we'll move him up. God,
Mike, I hate that you're saying that, but you're so right. But yeah, guys, it's frustrating. And, you know, we have talked so much. Mike reminded us during the preseason very wisely about just how much return on investment teams using a first round pick on a running back have gotten over the past decade. The Falcons have decided to zag when others zigged. It's just, I can't imagine, and I'm sure there are Falcons fans out there right now that are listening to the show or watching the show. I would love to know how they feel right now. Not just because, like, even if they don't have Bijan in fantasy or don't play fantasy, like, I'd love to know what they think about the fact they've used the fourth, the eighth, and the eighth overall pick on three guys with superstar talent, and they get about as little out of them as they possibly could.
Woo! It's frustrating.
Got that off our chest.
I don't feel good about
it. That's fair. And it's not even just a fantasy conversation.
Nope. No, it's a real life. They're 4-5.
For the score points, you got to do better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not great. All right, Field. Help us pay some bills before we move on with this one.
I will do that. I need to get some
actually,
relaxation.
Actually, you know what? I'm going to start.
I got it, Daniel. Right here.
All right. Go ahead.
Are you overwhelmed by insurance? Make it easy. Get all your insurance in one place with Geico. Plus, get 24/7 claim support and on-the-go policy access with the award-winning Geico mobile app. See how easy insurance can be and go to geico.com.
Level up your game day with Vivid Seats and get great tickets to the biggest games of the year. Plus, with Vivid Seats Rewards, you can score free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, an annual birthday discount, and more. They're the only ticket company in the game that rewards fans for every purchase. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code FFF. That is code FFF. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. And for the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Back here on Fantasy Focus with Field Yates, Mike Clay. My name is Daniel Dott, making our way through the Week 9 recap. And guys, let's talk about these Dallas Cowboys.
Let's do it. How about them?
Holy cow. Mike, you talked about, and I realize this is a season-long podcast, yesterday on FF Now, you said Dak Prescott, great price in DFS, only $6,500. It wasn't just in DFS that he was a good play, though. He was incredible here this week, out there slinging it, 374 passing yards and 3 touchdowns. It looks like he's starting to get on track with CeeDee Lamb in the way that we were hoping we were going to see.
Yeah, I would say so. From a fantasy perspective, maybe the best he's been. I mean, 3 straight top 3 finishes.
In a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. it's been a long time. Maybe getting back up to his peak value. So he had no top 16s to open the season before this 3 in a row where he's been top 3. They've seemed to have figured it out. And what they've figured out seems to be
throw the ball to CeeDee Lamb.
Your best player. Yes, yeah, we were just talking about it in the last segment. Like, maybe feature your highly talented superstar players. Yeah. They've done that. CeeDee Lamb's target share has been outstanding, and it has worked out for this entire offense.
And what's important for Dak going forward is that so it's back-to-back-to-back games with 24 or more fantasy points. Mm-hmm. During that stretch, he's averaging over 300 passing yards per game.
Yep.
He has 9 total touchdowns, a little bit of rushing. He almost had 2 more points with his legs yesterday on that 2-point conversion. That ended up being the inflection point of that game. A huge win for Mike's Eagles yesterday. They're so damn gritty and impressive. Could not be more impressed by the toughness of Jalen Hurts. But this matters for Dak going forward, too. Here is his next 5 games. Tell me when you get scared of a defense that I say out loud. The Giants?
Nope.
The Panthers? On the road, though. Mm-hmm. Still not scared.
Still
not
to worry. No.
Commanders, Seahawks, Eagles, all at home.
Commanders, Seahawks, Eagles.
No,
yeah.
And he has been outstanding against Eagles at home.
He has.
Graham just had a big game in Philly. So,
yeah.
No, not at all. That's great.
So I mean, maybe
great.
The schedule.
Certified QB1.
I try not to get too far ahead of myself than 5 weeks. There are a couple more difficult matchups later in the season, but for the next 5 weeks, he could legitimately be a top five quarterback if the Cowboys decide to lean into what they have done offensively. And I wonder if part of this fantasy resurgence is the fact that they can't score rushing touchdowns.
They really can't.
Yeah, last Tony Pollard touchdown was week one.
Week one, that's correct, Mike. Yeah. Week one for Tony Pollard. Remember last year, they just kept scoring touchdowns on the ground. Zeke had, I think, 10 last year, right? Or at least 10 last year. And Tony Pollard kept finding the end zone as well. This year, the Cowboys, whether it's because they're missing the presence of a hammerhead at the goal line or just because of play calling preference, are throwing for many more touchdowns than they did last season. So Dak has a chance to stay red hot for the next 5 weeks.
Agreed. Because of what you just said, we talked about coming into this season that even without Ezekiel Elliott not being there,
yeah,
we're going to see a decrease in efficiency from Tony Pollard, but the increase in volume is going to offset that. Yeah. You know, we're halfway through the season now, and even in those first couple of games that we were talking about, Mike, where you're saying Dak wasn't looking good, we still didn't really see an efficient Tony Pollard. I'm waiting to see the guy that we drafted as the number one running
back.
Not so
sure it's coming.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
The defense of that would be just he's always on the field. You know, he's getting the touches, but you're right. It's disappointing. This is a guy who a month ago I thought, you know, he's been resting a lot in blowouts. It's going to come, but it has not. Under 10 fantasy points. It's four of his last five games, and he was decent. I mean, all things considered, with all them one-sided games they played to open the season, he had 15-plus points in three straight. Yeah. You know, he came out pretty decent, and then it's kind of fallen off. So definitely disappointing, but a guy we're going to have to move down. I think he's still a good RB2 just because of the volume and a high-scoring offense, but definitely a disappointment based on the usage he's had. He's just not living up to it.
Yeah, it feels like this might be the year in which we define the running back position by guys ranked from, like, 5 to 15 as the disappointments, right? Mm-hmm. There were a couple guys that went very high. Yeah, it has been the dead zone this year for running backs. It has been a very, very difficult go. And I'm not just talking about Tony Pollard by any stretch, right? Think about guys
in
the totality of the season. Najee Harris, Aaron Jones, Ramondre Stevenson, obviously Tony Pollard, right? There have been a bunch of them, dude.
Yep.
So it has been a tough go for the guys that we thought were like low-end RB1s, maybe top-end RB2s this season.
Yeah, it has been difficult. Let's move ahead and talk about the Los Angeles Rams. Yeah. This team needs Matthew Stafford back badly.
In a major way. And I know that as a Lions fan, you've moved on to Jared Goff, but there was a time in which you really missed Matthew Stafford because he loved him and he played great football for so long.
Yep.
Rams fans miss him more than you missed Matthew Stafford at that time because this offense is an abject disaster right now. Yesterday's Packers-Rams game was absolutely disgusting in so many ways, and the Packers beat them by 14 points. It was 20-6 was the fight. It was 20-6, 23, whatever. It was a big one-sided affair, even though both teams played really poorly. How about this? Brett Rippon completed 13 passes.
Gross.
There are just 10 games this season in which a quarterback, a team, has completed fewer than 13 passes.
How many of them were Desmond Ritter?
I don't know.
Terod
Taylor and the Giants had that game recently, last week against the Jets when they got hurt and they just kept running the football and to some effect. But here, if you're looking for a silver lining for Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, it's two things. One, they're awesome, and two, Matthew Stafford should be back in week 11. But they go into their bye this week. That is a very precisely timed bye for Matthew Stafford's recovery. But gosh, I just, and I know that it's not like there are a lot of teams that are looking for just one good quarterback, but I really wonder if teams should start thinking longer and harder about major backup quarterback investments. Because I get it. Stetson Bennett, their fourth round pick, is on the non-football injury list, and that certainly, maybe it's non-football illness list, but still, that has put a wrench in their backup quarterback plans.
Yep.
But man, it's got to be hard as an offensive player going into a game if the practices look at all like what the game looked like for Brett Rippon under center.
Yeah, at least prioritize, maybe like backup quarterbacks start getting paid more. Like good ones.
Yeah.
Like it just becomes, look at the Colts. I mean, the Colts are hanging in there.
Why would you not want Gardner Minshew? Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe there's something to be said for that. But there was also that.
Oh, wait.
What is it? The famous Tom Moore quote that I can't say on the air.
Oh, yeah.
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, in a nutshell, it's if they said, why don't they give, I think it was Jim Sorgi at the time.
Yeah.
Why don't they give him more reps with the first team? And they said, well, if 18 goes down, we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
Version, and we don't practice, we're in trouble. So
yeah. I hear that, but at the same time, like, how many quarterbacks are Peyton Manning? I mean, like, nowadays, you should still be able to build a team where you're able to have basically a game manager. Don't turn over the football. You don't need guys out there slinging it all the
That's
time.
That's fair. I just mean for, like, there's certain teams. There's a lot of teams where they have a clear number one, and if and their backup, no matter who it is going to be vastly inferior. And if that player goes down,
then you're really
it's
trouble.
Over. Like, if Justin Herbert, well, I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to manifest anything, but if a superstar quarterback goes down, the backup is, you're going to be like, oh, they're in trouble.
Well, think like about Minnesota. A guy like Geno Smith with a backup for 8 years. Like, I just think that there are better options than what we saw on the field on several occasions yesterday because there was some poor quarterback play on display.
Yeah, yes, maybe it needs to be more prioritized. I'm with you. Yep.
By the way, Cooper Kupp, under 7 fantasy points in 3 straight games.
Brutal.
Just feels terrible.
Yeah, no touchdowns during that span,
Let's talk about Gus Edwards, guys.
Yeah.
I think I've gotten Gus Edwards wrong 3 weeks in a row. I'm going to raise my hand and say that.
Okay.
I did not see this coming.
I have
this game.
You go first.
This.
I want to
I don't think people realize.
I'm going to read my notes, and I bet that my notes are very similar to Mike's after Mike goes first.
How many snaps did he play in this game?
14.
Guys?
Here was my second note. Ready? My second snap.
19
played 14 snaps. LOL.
Yes, 19% of the snaps. He had 5 carries and 0 targets. That was a season low in snap share and touches.
Oh, my gosh.
Guys, he had 2 touchdowns in the game.
5 carries, 52 yards, 2 touchdowns. 5 carries, 52 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
This is one of them like process versus results things.
Yes.
I have no issue not ranking him higher. Yeah. I mean, where did he even finish?
RB 10 right now, pending Monday Night Football.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Like, that's not supposed to happen. I don't know what to make of him going forward.
This is the question that's posed on the graphic right now. Is he this year's Jerick McKinnon?
Maybe.
Yeah. Or he just keeps breaking Mike's model.
I guess so. There's always guys that do this for a month and then disappear. But if Justice Hill keeps playing 65% of the snaps, this isn't going to keep up. Edwards is going to crush it.
By the way,
get 4 points next
week.
Keaton Mitchell.
For people that have been listening to this show for a while, we've been like trying to make that one happen. And he had over 100 rushing yards yesterday. Mm-hmm. All right. So this is what I think the decision is going to be for Gus Edwards managers going into week 9 is you have to decide week 10, excuse me. What do you want to bank on? 19 snaps, 19% of the snaps.
Right.
Or would you kick yourself if you don't play Gus Edwards and he goes off for yet another touchdown next week? Mm-hmm. That's the dilemma. And honestly, like, I think I have a piece of advice. My advice would be going into this week, like, he probably won't be a top 20 play for me. But I also understand if you want to defy that because you believe in fantasy karma and good luck, go for it. Because over the past 2 weeks, he has scored 5 touchdowns. 5.
Yep. I'll say 2 things here. First of all, there was probably a little bit of, it was a very one-sided game element to this, but he was being mixed in with these guys right off the bat, right? Again, he only played a handful of snaps in this one. It started right from the beginning of this game. Number 2 is they're also playing the Browns this week, who are a really good defense, 3rd fewest fantasy points to running backs. That's another thing to consider when you're evaluating him for this week. So I'm with you. He'll be ranked as a flex option, but if this keeps up, it's going to be just touchdown dependent, boom bust. You're just praying for that score if he's in your lineup.
No, defensive matchup of the season when these two teams play this upcoming Sunday.
Hey, as a part of that, I will be playing Lamar Jackson. I'm not going to be playing Deshaun Watson if he plays. I'm out on playing a quarterback against this Ravens
defense.
Don't
bother playing one. Just don't.
Period.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Under 3 fantasy points for Geno yesterday. The Ravens have allowed under 100 fantasy points through 9 games to opposing quarterbacks.
That's to quarterbacks.
Yeah. 11 points per game. They are stifling. They are the Baltimore Ravens 2000 defense, specifically against quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, only one quarterback has gotten to 16 points. I'm with you. Watson has been decent, but I'm with you. I'm benching him this week.
Bench.
He's a sit for sure.
Good
by
luck.
The way, Ravens defense on paper coming into the season, not great. Didn't look good. Just outstanding.
And some
coaching.
Early injuries. Yeah. They're
great,
unbelievable.
Great coaching. Yeah.
Terrific.
Great evaluation. They got some good players in there. Yeah. Amazing job.
We had a Germany game yesterday that we got to watch during FF Now because of a weird scheduling quirk that we don't normally have on Sunday
mornings.
Thanks
to everybody for being patient with us.
Yes, so thank you for watching us, especially if you hung out with us on ESPN News. And we watched the Dolphins and the Chiefs. Guys, I was really disappointed by this Dolphins team.
3 times, right? I mean, 3 times you've been disappointed by them in 3 losses.
It's been frustrating. I really thought that I was hoping we were going to see a more exciting Tyreek Hill game. He got a lot of usage, a lot of targets still. It just didn't really pay off in the same way that we've been seeing Tyreek Hill.
He's allowed 1 mortal week.
And
right?
what is a mortal week for him? 12.5.
Yeah. So I think that to me, the only player that really comes under fire, not under fire, but the only player that I think is sort of like a start sit evaluation specific to the matchup. I'm not talking about specific to the personnel available because once Devon Achane comes back, that's a whole other Raheem Mostert conversation.
Yeah.
Is Tua. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And Mostert just keeps breaking models as well, by the way. His efficiency is off the charts. He was solid yesterday because he found the end zone.
Yeah, zero targets, though. And yeah,
again, he keeps breaking the model, right?
They're on their bye, and Achane can come back afterwards.
Yes, week 11. Right,
yeah.
But for Tua, you have to make a decision here. He has four games with 15 or fewer fantasy points this season. Three of those were the games in which the Dolphins lost. He had 15.0, 11.3, and 12.42 points in losses. If you're going to consider benching Tua, it's going to be driven by, if you look at the team that they play in the schedule, do you think they can move the football effectively? If you do, you start him. If you have concerns, it's a potential bench for whatever streaming quarterback options available.
Yeah, upcoming schedule, fantasy playoffs versus Jets, versus Cowboys, at Ravens, versus Bills.
Okay, bye-bye.
Not good, tough.
All right, back here on Fantasy Focus, continuing our Week 9 recap. Let's talk about this Browns team, by the way. Deshaun Watson came back, and Deshaun Watson helped Amari Cooper have a pretty fantastic day. I do want to say this, though. Only five targets for Amari Cooper. Super efficient here. Five for 139 and a touchdown. So I don't want to poo-poo the performance, but when you only get five targets, I do expect more for that out of the number one wide receiver in Deshaun Watson-led offense.
I guess so. I mean, he's had at least 100 air yards in every game, so at least they're getting downfield. And he's been quietly productive. This has been one of the least efficient offenses in the NFL this season. Deshaun Watson's slow start. Then he was out, and the backup quarterbacks weren't very good. In terms of EPA per play, they're one of the worst in the NFL, and still 14-plus fantasy points in five of eight games this season. He's 25th on a points-per-game basis. I mean, this could, based on the way this offense has played, this could have been really bad for Cooper. And it hasn't. He's been serviceable so far this season.
And the big takeaway, this is like stating the obvious, of course, but Deshaun raises the ceiling so significantly for Cooper. Four of his five highest yardage games this season have been with Deshaun Watson under center. There was one exception. But besides, when Deshaun has been unavailable, it's been a lot uglier for Amari Cooper. We'll have to talk about this a whole lot more during this upcoming week because we just mentioned they're playing the Ravens, which gives you some pause, no doubt. But Amari Cooper plus Deshaun Watson equals a much better version of Amari Cooper. It's a reminder of why, even with this up and down nature to his entire career, by the way, still going to be ranked in most weeks, not against the Ravens, as a top 20 wide receiver.
Yeah, by the way, Watson, four full games, three top 10s.
Yeah.
You know, he's just kind of quietly getting the job done from a fantasy perspective so far.
I don't like it still. You guys can tell me that you want to. I just don't like it.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I feel you. It's generally speaking, I would tell you, like, I have a similar vibe to what you're saying about Deshaun Watson. I'm sorry that we're going down this path again.
Yeah.
But quarterback play this year has once again been substandard.
Yep.
How many quarterbacks, when you think about where they were drafted, no, let's talk about just like elite quarterbacks coming into the season. You're like, they're playing either at or above expectation for the full year. Jalen Hurts at or above.
Yeah,
Josh Allen at or above. Mm-hmm. Justin Herbert at or above. Everybody else besides that. Joe Burrow of late, but for the first half of the season, not so much. Lamar's been up and down, right?
I mean, Trevor Lawrence down.
So yeah, obviously guys like CJ Stroud have this incredible performance that's better than we would have expected coming into the year.
But many of
the top 10 to 12 quarterbacks coming into the season have been below expectations, which is why Deshaun, even while uninspiring at times, might be like still a usable option because there are so few certainties at quarterback, especially next week. But let me tell you right now, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Matthew Stafford, I guess, and Tua Tagovailoa all on bye.
Yep.
Yikes.
All right, let's talk about the Las Vegas Raiders' first game with Antonio Pierce as the head coach. Things did not change.
Things did not change for Adams. Well, let's talk about this. We have to make a decision here. We have to decide how much weight we want to put into this game, right? Because is this like the dawn of a new day, or is this playing a Giants team that was completely dilapidated?
I think it's that.
Lost their quarterback in the game, was down to Tommy DeVito during the game. Here's the good. Josh Jacobs found the end zone twice yesterday. He had 26 carries. That was the most most opportunities in a game this season, 26. The problem was he had zero targets.
First time
since 2019.
Yes.
Week I told you I came 20. With the notes.
Yeah, you did. You came ready.
The first game without a target since 2019 for Josh Jacobs. So what are you going to read into this game? Are you reading into this game that the Raiders all of a sudden are a behemoth running team? No, they still average under 4 yards per carry. Are you taking into this game that all of a sudden Josh Jacobs is not a part of the passing game? No, I think he will be a big part of the passing game going forward. It seems like this team is happier. Generally, we like that. They play the Jets, though, next week. How excited are you about this team going up against the Jets next week? And by the way, Mike, seven targets for Devontae Adams yesterday. Another clunker.
Yeah. it was a big target share, 29%. So to your point, they were dominating this game and didn't have to throw it. Right. Had it been a more competitive game and he had a 29% target share, it might be a different conversation.
Right. The thing is that process matters more for guys that aren't superstars, right? It's results that we care about with superstars.
Yeah, fair enough. I would say I'm more concerned about Jakobi Meyers, who has had two duds in two games with O'Connell under center.
I know, but
in terms of volume, the rushing touchdown. He did. You're not going to get
figure,
that from
right?
him for the most part.
I know.
Had the rushing touchdown. Davante Adams, though. Yeah, I mean, again, four straight down games and now gets the Jets. He's on the perimeter. It's going to be DJ Reed and Sauce Gardner on almost every snap. It's going to be a tough one.
How many games with 100 or more receiving yards does Davante have this season?
One or two.
There. One.
Dang it. Just the one. It was that 20 target game.
When was the last time he scored a touchdown?
Week two. I don't know.
Week three. So what this means, Mike, is that you're going to downgrade him next week against the Jets. And everybody is going to have the same feeling that you do. Hey, he's like wide receiver 19 next week. He'll go off.
No.
That's how fantasy works, Daniel.
But he's not going to be wide. He was wide receiver 20 for me this week. What do you think he's going to be next week?
Whatever. Wide receiver 24. Whatever you want to rank him as, and he'll go off next week.
That's
write it down right now.
That's what I was hoping I was going to speak
fantasy football
this
makes
week.
No sense thing of the week next week will be Davante goes off. Just
you,
because.
You asked me for a Jet stat this morning.
Yeah.
Only three receivers have reached 11 fantasy, over 11 fantasy points against the Jets this season.
I'm just telling you, that's how it's going to work. So. It's going to work that way. That's how sports works.
By the way,
works.
They play tonight, right? So
yes, they do.
Maybe we'll see how the
last target here, because you guys moved on. I was looking up a Josh Jacobs stat because I thought I had this right. Josh Jacobs leads the NFL in rushes, 159 rushes.
Yeah.
He is running back 41 in yards per carry, averaging 3.2 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Five games, finishing 20th or worse, four top 12s. Very boom bust so far.
That's been tough. It's been tough. All right. Let's talk about these Minnesota Vikings. Came into the game. Jaren Hall was the quarterback. Unfortunately, he was scrambling towards the end zone. Took a shot right at the goal line. Ended up having to leave the game, which means, surprise, surprise.
Hey.
Josh Dobbs, who had not practiced with the team, didn't know half the players' names that he was throwing the football to or playing with out there, came in. And he was unbelievable. If C.J. Stroud had not done what he had done this week, I think we would be talking way more about what Josh Dobbs did coming in as a quarterback that didn't even know this offense and absolutely led this Vikings team down the field to a victory. Unbelievable.
Yeah, certainly a big-time fantasy impact, but one of the coolest stories of the NFL season, regardless of the fantasy implications of it, but he was great yesterday. Now no one started Josh Dobbs. So let's talk about what this means going forward, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think people are wondering, is Josh Dobbs a decided upgrade over Jaren Hall for the rest of this season?
Would you say it would go Jared Goff, Josh Dobbs, Justin Fields?
In the NFC North specifically?
And then probably Teddy Bridgewater, and then Tyson Bagent, and then Jordan Love? Or like, how would you do NFC North quarterback?
You know what, Daniel? I'm going to let you debate that one with the Packers fans.
Okay, all right.
I'll stick to the Josh Dobbs is a great story part of this. Okay. But what does it mean going forward? I think this means, Mike, that I just have a bit more certainty surrounding the opportunities for TJ Hockenson and also Jordan Addison, who yesterday, TJ Hockenson, what did he do? 12 targets.
Mm-hmm.
So massive target share for T.J. Hockenson.
Yep.
What else is new? He very much stayed afloat. And Jordan Addison had 7 targets yesterday, good enough for 5 catches. So we did not lose the value entirely of Jordan Addison. Meanwhile, teammate K.J. Osborne took a huge hit. We wish him the very best. It was a very scary situation, which means that Addison might be even busier for at least 1 week going forward. So I think overall, stock up for this Vikings passing game. There's also the rushing side of this too, Mike, because they got a big blow yesterday in the backfield.
Yeah, they did. Cam Akers, I think we're going to get into this a little later, Akers is done for the year, Achilles injury. So it's going to be the Alex Madison show. The first 3 weeks of the season before Akers got there, it was all Madison. He was handling almost all carries and passing down work. But he's been playing fine, 18 touches, 93 yards, and a touchdown in this game. Second highest fantasy point total at 17.3. His highest is 17.5. So he hasn't had a high ceiling, but he's had a decent floor, 16.1 touches and 65.8 yards per game. Three touchdowns are all catches, which is weird. He has no rushing touchdowns.
Weird.
Akers had the only one.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's going to be a guy that we're going to feel like he's just one of them. Decent floor, low ceiling, set it and forget it, RB2s kind of going forward. I'm with you. But yeah, Dobbs, 10th in fantasy points a quarterback this season.
Stop.
Unreal. Just keeps adding value with his legs. And I'm, you know what? I was thinking about this yesterday on a car ride.
Yeah, there we go. Yep.
We're going to learn about Kevin O'Connell and this system because, you know, it's been really productive for fantasy. And there's always been that debate, like, how good really is Kirk Cousins? We're going to see what he can do here with Dobbs. And actually, Hall came out firing, too.
He
started off well. So I'm very curious to see how this goes for Minnesota.
I am a big Kevin O'Connell fan. Very impressed by what this team has done. Four straight wins, by the way, all without Justin Jefferson, one without Kirk Cousins, one with the guy who you mentioned no practice, Daniel. He was literally learning the cadence on the sideline as he was getting ready to go in for his first drive.
It's crazy.
How about these teams that seems like start 0-2, 1-3, whatever, and it's like it's over. And the old 16-game season, it was like you're done. But now it's like the Chargers, if they win tonight, the Vikings, the Bengals.
Bengals win every year now, apparently. Yeah, it's an invitational for
Cincinnati. All these teams are right back in it now.
You got to think if you're a Vikings fan, too, that you are absolutely thrilled because this gives you a shot to feel like, hey, Justin Jefferson comes back and we might have an opportunity. If they
he's
had
eligible
come out
this
there.
Week. He is this week. I thought Adam Schefter's notes on Sunday made me feel like he was a long shot for this week.
Mm-hmm. I don't
more
mean
likely
for this week,
than
just coming
yeah,
back.
Yeah,
in
yeah,
general.
No, definitely. I agree. It sounds like based off Schefter's reporting yesterday morning and his tone on fantasy football now, struck me as less likely to play in week 10 than more likely. But it does feel like a return could be within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
We have a few names to keep an eye on because James Conner, I believe, is eligible. Khalil Herbert is eligible to return this week. So we'll talk about that throughout the week, but just names to know.
Kyler Murray as well. Somebody I keep thinking about that perspective. So yeah, with you on that one. All right, back here on Fantasy Focus, finishing out the Week 9 recap. Guys, let's talk about this Sunday night football game. Bills and Bengals.
Oh, Gabriel.
Let's start.
Yeah, you want to do bad or good?
Yeah. Let's start with the bad. Okay. So I had a board bet against my friend Mike Clay. I said Gabe Davis was going to have as many receiving yards as T. Higgins.
I believe it was against me.
Oh, was it against you? I thought it was against me.
Unfortunately, you convinced me. It's your fault.
You took my side of this argument?
I had Davis one spot ahead of T. Higgins in my rankings, and I agreed
to a board bet.
Yep. And it's totally your fault.
Correct.
And I have massive regrets. Yep. And I don't feel good about it. Yep. And I lost. Definitely. And I'll never do it again.
19-0.
19.
Zero catches for Gabe Davis.
That is unreal. You want to know why? Because they threw the ball to Dalton Kincaid all the time. This tight end has looked awesome. All the things that we've talked about, like getting a usable tight end here halfway through the season.
He's TJ Hockenson.
Yeah.
He is. Yep.
He's the next superstar fantasy tight end, and we should have expected that because he was a first-round pick at tight end, and he goes into this Bills offense. Took
volume
a little time.
Machine, 26 targets over the past 3 weeks for Dalton Kincaid. Well, he did have a touchdown last week, but I don't necessarily even need any touchdown production from him to still be a lock-it-in starter. I certainly will take whatever I get,
but
with 26 targets and the efficiency of those targets is going to be so high. Very little of what he does is down the field. It's all pretty much checkdowns and dump offs. If he gets 7 targets a game, he should be averaging six catches per game, and 6 catches for 50 yards, double digit fantasy points is going to put him as a top 10 option every single week.
You're going to like this. Last 3 games, 7 plus targets, 5 plus catches, 65 plus yards, 15 plus fantasy points in all 3 games.
He's crazy efficient.
We liked him this week. Bengals were a great matchup. Yeah. How about this? Broncos, second most fantasy points to tight ends this week.
That.
So another good matchup.
Love that.
For Dalton Kincaid. By the way, on Gabe Davis, last 5 fantasy finishes. This is hilarious. 7th, 84th, 88th, 9th, and now 101st Monday Night Football this week.
I had a slightly different spin on it. He has 4 top 22 finishes this year, does Gabe Davis. In the other 5 games, what do you think his average is amongst wide receivers?
74th.
79th.
Wow, that was a good guess.
That was
Mike.
A great
that
guess by really you, good. Mike. He is less valuable T. Higgins. Right, Higgins, I think, has way more certainty because T. Higgins, obviously, he's got better volume more consistently. T. Higgins has 8 games played this year, 4 with 8 or more targets, 4 with not 8 targets. Meanwhile, Gabe Davis, he has 5 targets or more than 5 targets in just 3 of his 9 games. So Higgins has seen a more consistent target share in this Bengals offense. But how about T. Higgins this season? T. Higgins now has 2 finishes as a top 8 wide receiver. Obviously, that could change a little bit depending on what happens tonight. But in the other games that he has played, wide receiver 82 on average.
Yeah, I mean, he was hurt as well. I will give him that. That has not been an excuse for Gabe Davis. Also, their offense was horrendous to start the season. I feel a lot better about him moving forward.
Totally.
I think I'm going to rank him around 20th, I would say, this week. But they're playing Houston, who, again, they still own wide receivers. 2 touchdowns to receivers this season.
However, Joe Burrow, looking like an MVP right now. He is locked the heck in right now. He's all the way back. All the way back is Joe Burrow. He was outstanding last night. Could have been even more, by the way. Ja'Marr Chase, a couple of near big play opportunities. It could have been even more points for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. You have to feel great about that. There are a lot of teams that are trending in the right direction right now in the AFC. That AFC North battle is going to be unbelievable during the second half of the season.
And with what we just saw from the Bengals and the Texans, what's this game going to look like?
Ooh, a lot of fantasy points,
yeah,
I hope.
Question. Yeah.
36-33, I'll take that.
I was watching this one really close. I almost hit a six-leg parlay in this one.
Who let you down?
First off, I had Dalton Kincaid yards. Got it. Dalton Kincaid receptions. Got it. Khalil Shakir receptions. Got it. I had Tyler Boyd receiving yards. Got it. I had Joe Burrow over 1.5 passing touchdowns. Got it. And it was
Ja'Marr Chase.
Ja'Marr Chase getting in the end zone.
Oh.
And he had multiple chances. He had multiple shots. I was like, this is it.
It was so close.
Of all the ones to lose on.
Just four catches last night for Ja'Marr Chase. But this Bengals offense looks outstanding right now. One last note from this game for me. I don't exactly know what to make of James Cook because over his past five games, four out of the past five under 10 fantasy points, he's been, of course, as a result of that, outside the top 30 or 30th or worse in those four games that he was also under 10 fantasy points. He has just two touchdowns this season. That seems to be the problem is that for an offense that's so good, when they get near the goal line, there are just way too many ways for them to score. Yep. He has one rushing touchdown through half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no upside. Best finishes eighth, under 9 fantasy points in 4 of his last 5. Goes up against Denver this week. Most fantasy points are running backs. Ugh. The question is,
which version of Denver?
Yes. Which Broncos defense are we going to get?
It feels like a trap. It's a trap!
The Monday Night Football, of course, the Bills are 5-4, and they have a tough schedule in the second half of the year.
That's
for a team
tough.
That's so good. Like, they're going to have to battle to get into the playoffs this year.
They're out right now. Yeah.
Are they really? They're out of the playoffs.
The entire AFC North is in the playoffs as of right now.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now, whether that stands, we'll see. But for right now, that is the case.
Guys, football's weird.
It is.
Football's such a weird sport.
Especially fantasy football.
That's so crazy.
Yep.
All right, let's keep going. Talking about some week 9 injuries here.
This stinks.
This one is not quite as fun. Obviously, we'll do a little bit more of this tomorrow when we do our waiver wire conversation field as we're talking about some guys.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll I'm not sure this guy mattered.
Hopefully,
but,
yeah. Daniel Jones, we're going to start there. Tore his ACL. Sounds like Daniel Jones going to be done for the year as well.
Brian Daboll, just moments before we had this conversation, confirmed that he tore that ACL. Out for the year, obviously. This is a massive, massive blow in so many ways. Jones has really struggled this season, obviously, but for a franchise that has gone from the bell of the ball last year to one of the great disappointments in football this season, they all of a sudden have a major, major issue going forward. There is absolutely nobody in this passing game that is anywhere close to starting. Tyrod Taylor's out for at least 3 more games. Tommy DeVito is probably going to be the starting quarterback for the Giants. Other than Saquon Barkley, you are staying the heck away from this team entirely in fantasy football.
Yeah, I agree. Can't trust any of the wide receivers right now. I'm curious to see if Matt Barkley maybe gets it. That wouldn't surprise me if he even started for them over DeVito because that hasn't worked so far. I think he actually completed 15 of 20, which isn't horrendous, but just doesn't look the part. So they might have to go with the veteran Barkley.
I'll be very quick here when I ask this. But this offseason, so things can change in the second half, but it's going to be tough with Tommy DeVito or Matt Barkley for them to dig themselves out of this hole. What do they do with the draft? Like if you have a top 5 pick and you're the Giants.
Quarterback.
Right. I just paid so much money to Daniel Jones.
But they have an out on that, right? I mean,
$69 million cap it next year.
You have to take a quarterback. If you can get your hands on one of them top two, I don't think it's even a question.
It's amazing.
Mike, it will be that much more of a question. Uh-huh. Like, it will be a question internally. Yeah. It will be. They just gave him a 4-year, $160 million extension.
They're dead last in touchdowns the last 3.5 years.
Mike is so willing to just light $69 million on fire. He's like, just get another one. Just get it. Who cares?
Hey, that's the life I live.
That's how it works with Mike.
His full salary for next year is guaranteed. So the only way that you could save on that dead money is trading him away. Who's going to be trading away for a $35 million Daniel Jones salary coming off of an ACL tear?
I hear you.
Yeah, it's tough.
It's going to be tough.
Really tough.
And no Darren Waller as well. He's on IR. So it seems the only usable fantasy piece here is Saquon Barkley, and it's just about volume.
And it's like a balanced off, right? Because it's like you're going to have the volume that should be off the charts.
The 9-man boxes.
11-man boxes. Yes. Literally. Like they're going to find a way to play 12 defensive players.
We're going to start seeing the referees.
You know what? They might just play 10 defensive players. Like, have you seen the passing game right now? Let's get our guy a rest each play.
That's actually really, really funny. All right. We're going to move ahead and talk about this as well. Cam Akers, you already mentioned it, Mike.
Unfortunately, Achilles tear.
So it's going to be the Alexander Mattison conversation there.
The only thing I'll keep my eyes on whether they add anybody. Would it totally stun me if the Rams, with Kyren Williams back in the fold, waive Miles Gaskin to sort of pave the way for him to go back to Minnesota?
Ooh. Yeah, I guess so. Kenny Nwango really was on IR to open the season. He's back now, too. So they have him and Ty Chandler. If they just decide, you know what, we're just going to, it's going to be the Madison show, and we'll give a few touches to these other guys. Yeah. So that could be the case, too. But I'm with you. It could be Gaskin back there as well.
Mike, your tight end Dallas Goedert unfortunately had a fractured forearm in this game. He's going to have an MRI today, so we'll get a little bit more information there. But that's going to be a big blow, at least to us fantasy managers, if you need a tight end. Dallas Goedert has been one of the best this year.
Yeah, so sounds like he'll probably miss about a month. That's a reasonable
estimate.
They have
to buy this week, so maybe put him on IR.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would not be surprised. So I look back to last year, there were five games he was out, five game stretch late last season, just a 10% target share for the tight ends at that point. So nothing to get too excited about there, unless you're an Albert O enthusiast or a supporter or apologist, because remember
he got in the field yesterday and they like Kevin Burkhardt, he's just outstanding, obviously, and Greg Olson, they're terrific together, but he made somebody to the effect of like, he did such a great job of being very kind, like, yeah, Albert O like hasn't played a whole lot for Philly, right? Like it was like his third snap of the season or something.
Yeah,
he's been
inactive a lot, but he's a guy they could give a shot to. But I do expect them to do what Buffalo has just done when Dawson Knox went on IR, which is use more of their third wide receiver. So Alameda Zaccheaus will probably get more run, and Julio Jones,
Quintoris Jones,
and that's what we saw last season. By the way, Quez Watkins 16% target share when Goddard was out. That's he's used to getting like 4%. So, you might.
Hurt by Julio Jones. Yeah, it's going
to
be awesome.
Yeah, I don't think there's any sort of fantasy relevance, but there's something to be said for that. I think you're not worried about the Eagles' tight ends unless you're in like a two tight end league. Maybe you take a shot on Albert O, but that's about it.
I would rather take a shot on Julio Jones. Can I be back in on the Julio Jones bandwagon? Can I be a part of this now?
Never in on the Julio Jones bandwagon. Can you be in?
It's because they never had a quarterback that threw him balls in the end zone. Now we're at a spot where I'm seeing
But that's the only thing he does, though, and he's still the four. Zaccheaus is out-snapping him, so I don't think he's on the fantasy
radar. Other fantasy podcast is going to give you Alameda Zaccheaus versus Julio Jones
super sleeper.
We do. Yeah.
Super sleeper.
All right, let's talk about Josh Downs. He was questionable coming into this game with a knee injury. Yeah. Only had one target, ended up leaving this game as well with that knee injury.
And it's the same injury, by the way. So it was not a new injury. So this is obviously a bad sign for a Colts team that goes on the road to Germany this week. That is their bye week. I mean, he's awesome. He's a great player. Wouldn't surprise me, and I know nothing as of right now, but this would not surprise me in the slightest if when the team takes off for Germany, they say, hey, he's been downgraded to out. Mm-hmm. Same thing the Chiefs did when they took Clyde Edwards-Helaire and said he's out for the Germany game. So if you're looking for a sleeper for week 10, Isaiah McKenzie.
There you go.
You are looking for a Josh Downs clone. Maybe not exactly that, but has some similar traits to sort of jittery bug, lightning quick slot receivers. McKenzie played a pretty prominent role yesterday once Downs went out, but just a real bummer because he's been one of the best stories in fantasy football, Josh Downs. And this injury took place in practice last week. He went from no injury report designation at all on Wednesday, limited Thursday and Friday, ended up playing, but was limited to just one catch. That one stinks there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and again, they're playing the Patriots, right? Yep. And they're having all kinds of issues in the secondary right now, figuring out that.
Secondary, front seven, offensive line, offensive quarterback.
I'm just saying specifically everything. To Down or McKenzie.
Totally.
Pittman and, Alec Pierce. So,
We got one more injury here. Well, there's a couple injuries here, but we're going to one more to close this one out. Christian Watson, unfortunately, in the
compression. Yeah, I have to go. Guys. Oh, my God. I don't want to talk about this offense.
This one was crazy yesterday, though.
Yeah.
So, Christian Watson, they announced the injury. He was being evaluated for a concussion, a chest injury, and a back injury all at once. Crunching hit, obviously, that led to that. One catch for 37 yards for Christian Watson yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was late in the game. He took a goose egg throughout that one. I will say this, two targets in that game, as few as since week 9 of last season. He had at least four in every game since he's been a starter, but it's just not happening this year. The yardage hasn't been there. Had the one touchdown in week 1, and I put the blame not on him.
I agree.
He's an every down player. He's super talented. We saw it last year with the better quarterback.
Yeah.
And you were right. Your concern was that the quarterback play was going to be poor and it was going to limit him. You're right on the money. Well, Mike, not good.
Packers fans that are listening today, like, I want like winning in the NFL is hard.
Can we clip that?
It's exciting. Yeah, I know. Keep this track.
Just this, look, if I'm wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong.
If there's such thing as like a digital resume, Daniel wants that as part of his digital resume right there.
I've lost so many DFS matchups against Mike Clay going one-on-one in the CSS DFS that to finally get one thing right against Mike Clay.
That's actually why we didn't do the pod this year. He was like, I'm tired of this. I can't.
So, yeah.
So Tyler takes your rat.
That's exactly. Tyler
subs in now.
If there are Packers fans that are waking up today, like excited about the fact that they won after what's been a very rough stretch, totally feel you. Like, it's great to win in the NFL, and Jordan Love statistically was fine yesterday, 20 for 26. But I just think the eye test is so unkind to basically the entire offensive operation. A huge bummer on Christian Watson. Yeah. We'll see whether or not he is able to play this upcoming week. Green Bay has already had its bye. But yeah, even if he does play, like, why would you start him right now?
Christian Watson started out Jordan Love started out the season with three straight 20 fantasy point games, and we were all a little bit tilted because it's like, wait a minute, is this really going to be a thing? But it feels like watching Jordan Love the last couple of weeks. It's not even the last couple of weeks. Watching him from the jump, from the start of the season, you saw the flaws in the game that gave us question marks, right? And it seems so obvious that I'm making jokes, obviously, about the NFC North quarterbacks. Jordan Love just doesn't feel like he's it. He's not there to take this team to the next step, as in my estimation, because Christian Watson is a really good wide receiver, and they just cannot find ways to get him involved.
Are they in the market for a quarterback this offseason, the Packers?
Absolutely.
They should be.
I love it.
I don't, like, if you're in the...
Mike's lighting money.
If it's a question, the answer is yes.
Exactly right. That's exactly right.
No, yeah. And Mike, we can talk about this much more during the offseason. I think that the part that is perhaps overlooked in that argument, and I'm not trying to... you are very much the logical person here, is the human side of it. Just like the idea that we've invested this time in Jordan Love, 3 years of the backup and then 1 year as a starter, and then this offseason to be like, bye-bye. Nope. Like, that's just a hard transition to make. However, they do not pay head coaches and general managers a lot of money to make the easy decisions. They pay them the money to make the difficult decisions. Green Bay may have a decision to make this offseason.
Pay them guaranteed money to make those difficult decisions.
Yeah, they do. That's right. Like the Raiders reminded us this past week.
$86 million price tag in order to move on.
It's going to be interesting to see who's picking at the top of this draft, because there's going to be a lot of teams. I mean, you could even throw maybe Pittsburgh into the conversation. Like, there's going to be a lot of teams.
But they're 5-3, so they won't be very high necessarily.
Yeah, they're not going to get there. I'm just saying.
Did you see this stat? This was a great stat. Oh, man, I'm so bummed I don't have this.
Mike and I had a filibuster for a minute.
Yeah, let me see if I can. I want to make sure I give the credit to the right person, because this was an alarming stat.
But who else do we have to talk about here?
I'll tell you what. It was nice to be able to see real talk. It was nice to see Aaron Jones. We have not seen a usable Aaron Jones week since week one. 20 carries, 73 yards, and a touchdown, plus 4 catches for 26 yards. He looked a little bit more like the Aaron Jones that we knew. Still not super efficient with his rushing, but I love the fantasy production here.
Yeah, he was pretty good. I set a rare, elusive tournament lineup yesterday. Ooh. And had Aaron Jones in there, had the touchdown, was feeling good early, had a Dallas stack as well. Unfortunately, I got creative with it. I had Pollard and CeeDee Lamb in there. So I was like hoping Pollard would catch a touchdown.
That's tough.
He needed the Houston stack in a tournament setting. And our friend
Al Zeidenfeld.
Al had a nice day. Yes. Take it home, but he had a nice day as usual.
Okay, got it. John Ledyard. Go follow him on Twitter. Ledyard NFL Draft tweets this yesterday, 5:55 p.m. CJ Stroud has more passing touchdowns than Kenny Pickett already for his career.
Yeah, totally believable. I mean, he had, what, 7 last year? Pickett had like 7 last year?
14 for C.J. Stroud, more than Kenny Pickett already. That's crazy. To catch Stroud up that fast is... Yeah, I mean, that's both a C.J. Stroud and a Kenny Pickett stat, by the way.
And remember, especially pocket quarterbacks are not this good, especially from fantasy. NFL, of course, but fantasy especially. This is unheard of. Like, all of the fantasy relevant rookie quarterbacks from the last 10, 20 years all did it with a lot with their legs.
Yeah.
Even Justin Herbert had like 4 or 5 rushing touchdowns. You know, you can go on and on. All these guys were productive with their legs. Stroud is not. He's just legit lighting it up through the air.
He can run. He just hasn't done it much yet. Yeah. And I don't know if Houston is all that motivated to incorporate that into the offense.
I was so bummed this offseason, really quickly, and then we'll move on, because in our dynasty league that the three of we're all in with each other and a bunch of other people here, I had the 5th overall pick, right, for our rookie draft. Yep. And it's like, crap. I'll bet you I'm going to get CJ Stroud. I'll bet you Anthony Richardson's going to go. Bijan's going to go. Jameer Gibbs, Bryce Young. It's like, I'm going to get stuck with the Houston Texans quarterback.
And?
Holy cow, does that feel so good right now for a super flex dynasty
roster.
That's
how it works in dynasty all the time.
That's right.
Geno Smith.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert.
I'll do a Justin Herbert for CJ Stroud.
You can get younger, Mike.
Look, would you be shocked at all if Stroud is like outscoring Herbert next year?
No,
like,
of course not.
At all.
No, like, a star.
He might be in the next in that short list of superstars in this league. He looks the part.
All right, before we move on, let's talk about some week nine board bets just to get these out of the way. Tony Pollard finishes as a top 12 or higher fantasy running back.
Before we do this, can I just observe that the board bets are on the note?
Yeah.
It's so weird how, like, the last month or so I've been asking, like, hey, what were the board bets this week? Like, I legit couldn't remember them, and nothing. Like, no one would answer crickets every time.
Right. Yeah.
Never been on the note. The first week I have like a horrendous week. They're all listed out here beautifully in a nice chart.
Well, that's interesting.
Like there's a Google Doc that some are just missing from. Right. We're just totally missing board bets.
I don't know what you're talking about, Mike. Interesting.
But this week we got perfect documentation.
You know, actually
the winner, it's all
my
here.
Note doesn't have them. So can you guys tell me about the board bets?
Oh, sure.
Okay,
actually,
please. Thank you.
We're out of time.
Oh, that's so funny. Tony Pollard to finish as a top 12 or higher fantasy running back. This was Mike versus Fields.
Yep. Yeah, I lost.
Yeah, sorry about that one, Mike.
Pollard currently 24th amongst running backs, pending Monday Night Football.
Yep, so terrible week.
Tough go for Tony Pollard. Yep.
All right, I had
9.3 fantasy points.
Mike and I took Gabe Davis against T. Higgins. We already talked about that. Fields, you won that one as well. So you've won two in a row?
That would be correct, Daniel.
All right, and then
heating
we also
up, as the kids say.
Had one more.
I didn't even know we were doing this last one, but I'll take the L. Let's do it. Go ahead.
Mike Clay versus Twitter. Derek Carr to finish outside the top 15 at quarterback. Unfortunately, the X won this one. Mike Clay goes down.
Wait, is Carr really a top 15 quarterback for this week?
Yeah, he's like, what, 12 or 11? He's like hanging around.
You need a Zach Wilson plus, who's the Jets backup quarterback?
That's what
now.
I was just going to say. You need like a Taysom Hill type performance with
Josh
Carr.
Dobbs.
Yes.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Oh, it doesn't
feel
good.
He didn't even do that much. He's just been hanging around.
I know.
You know, Taysom Hill's still stealing reps, stealing touchdowns, but Carr's just hanging in there as like a QB.
You know how many people want us to talk about Taysom Hill as like, hey, is this a real spot? Can we really use
Taysom
Hill?
We need to talk about him Wednesday because I think he is in 12 team leagues at least a starter now based on the way he's being utilized now.
He had the most carries of the team yesterday.
Yes, he did. He had a career high carry share.
He's
in yesterday's game.
So I don't know if it's fair. He threw a touchdown pass. Yep. I don't know that we can actually call Taysom Hill a tight end, but in our game, he is obviously listed as a tight end. I wonder when the last time that ESPN Fantasy had a touchdown thrown by a tight end to a tight end.
That's
Taysom Hill to Juwan Johnson. It's probably been a long time, right?
Yeah. I could see, for what it's worth, I could absolutely see a Jonnu Smith to Kyle Pitts pass in a way.
They tried to do that, didn't they? Didn't Jonnu throw a pass?
He had a rushing attempt.
I wouldn't be shocked.
I thought he either threw a pass or they had a play set up for him to throw a pass, something
just
like that.
Just a reminder, by the way, Kadarius Hodge has the same number of goal to go carries this season as Bijan Robinson.
All right.
So the funny part about Johnny was that like the Falcons are actually doing an awesome job with Johnny this year.
Yeah.
Like they have done a terrific job with him. It's everybody else who are not doing such a great job with him.
Yeah, because the Patriots were like, yeah, you get three routes a game, Johnny Smith.
Yes.
And we're paying him a lot of money to not be. To
the Falcons paid him a lot less money to be a lot better.
Yeah, I think someone, crazy. I don't know who it was, someone called him like a sideline decoration during his time in New England or something.
Pretty much,
that was accurate.
Yeah.
So weird. It's so weird. All right, here we are on Fantasy Focus, closing out our week 9 conversation. Guys, we got Monday Night Football.
Yeah,
tonight.
We do.
Mm-hmm. We're talking Chargers against the Jets. Do you guys need any Monday Night Miracles specifically in this one for your fantasy lineups?
I don't know if it's a miracle, but I need some Garrett Wilson to beat David Presley, who is upset that I'm probably going to beat him, that he put the board bets on the note here. So
I need the opposite of that. So I'm on the Presley side of this because Kyle Soppe, the great Kyle Soppe, former research extraordinaire here at ESPN and a massive part of the Focus family for a long, long time and always will be.
Always will.
Him and I are in the most disgusting battle in our ESPN Dynasty League. I believe I have 80.58 points. I might of the 12 teams, I might be the 10th highest scoring team. Kyle needs about 9 points, half PPR from Garrett Wilson to beat me. Ooh. This is also a victory points league, so both of us are taking an L in the victory points department.
Are you sure? Because like I'm beating Damian, another former colleague of ours.
We love Damian.
He is like the best team in the league.
Yes,
like, we're both up there. Yeah, we're both like up there in points, like five points apart. And I might beat him like 120 to like 80 or something.
Really?
Like it's a bad, it's been a, just a it's, bad
okay. So by the
fantasy.
Way, get prepared for more of that. Chiefs, Eagles, Dolphins, yeah. Rams, all on a bye this week, baby. I can't wait for this. Like, do you guys recall the, I've talked about this before on the show, Frank Beamer celebrating a Virginia Tech, like 3-0 win in overtime over Wake Forest. That's going to be me celebrating next wins next Sunday or next Monday night, I guess, when I,
You win 64-59.
That's what it is.
Yes, yeah. Literally. Either that or like, I was thinking about, I'm already planning this one out. Maybe I'll use it at some point. Like, my team that has Cooper Kupp plus like Patrick Mahomes plus, I don't know, whatever, Devontae Smith. Like, how many points will I score this week? The Isaiah likely 80.
Likely 80.
That'd be good. Yeah. Good right there. Get ahead of the curve on that.
That's what
one.
He does when he's driving in the car on the way to the pub.
I think about social media. Yes, I think about my tweets. Doing. I don't know, man.
How
we're kind of down
that?
On the
you
X.
You love that one.
The X, what?
Yeah, likely not the 80. X. Not the X. The, yeah.
We're down on
I
X.
Was actually, before the show, you posted the link.
Yeah.
To the show, and I was going to retweet it, and I was like scrolling through all the spam. It's just like, it's just
oh
so
my God,
spam. I can't even spam. Find it anymore. It's crazy. Yeah. What happened to that app?
We spent too much time railing on it. We're done.
I need anyway, Justin yeah. Herbert and Quentin Johnston to score me 42 points combined. I also have Cameron Dicker. The problem is, okay, so this is in our Michigan Men League with Field and I.
Well, you have three.
I have Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
I have
42
Quentin
between
Johnston,
those three is doable.
Cameron Dicker. The frustrating part is that I have Josh Dobbs and Noah Brown on my bench. So if I just played both of those guys, what I already matter? Would have
right,
won.
Right, because who wouldn't have played Josh Dobbs over Justin
on
Herbert?
On a week in which he wasn't even supposed to play. yeah, exactly.
Right, and Noah Brown, I mean, I definitely would have started him over like anybody else on your roster.
Maybe Quentin Johnston. It was between him and Quentin Johnston, honestly. I didn't feel good about either one. All right, so let's talk about this game really quickly. When you're looking at the Chargers, what is it that you're taking away from this one?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, Josh Palmer's on IR.
Yes,
and
yes.
There's
a big opportunity.
Michael Williams
Johnston.
Is gone. This is Johnson's opportunity. They have to. I want to see them manufacture touches for him. Keep in mind, again, he plays outside. He's going to see a lot of DJ Reed. He's going to see a lot of Sauce Gardner. They're going to have to get creative. Bubble screens.
Right, that was his superpower in college. He was a yards after catch player. We mistake a guy who's 6'4" as this big player on the perimeter who you should be throwing the ball up to like Mike Evans. Not his game at all.
No.
We'll see whether they get crafty like Mike just referenced. And then this Jets defense, and Mike referenced the stat earlier, like they're just so gnarly. Like, I can't wait to see what this Chargers offense looks like against a Jets defense that came into the season talking a lot of talk about how good they were going to be. And they have been largely excellent this year against an absolutely ridiculous schedule. They have played so many great quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. Tonight, add another one to the ledger.
Yeah. They, if you have Justin Herbert, if you get 20, you're like, nice.
It's great.
Like, yeah, I'll take that. You know, you should probably expect like 17, 18, something like that. It's a really good Jets defense. Yeah. Remember how much they struggled that first year as they were figuring out personnel?
Yep.
And there was like that, you know, Salah was taking like a beating because they were struggling so much. Year two, turned it around. And now this year, just
they're
as
awesome.
Good. Just dominant defense. They're doing a great job. And frankly, they're keeping this season alive.
Yeah,
they're just keeping it alive. That's the only reason they're in this.
Let's pick this game. If you're taking Chargers or the Jets field, which side are you on? Jets?
You're taking the Jets?
I'm taking the Jets. Yeah.
I'm taking the Chargers.
Nice.
I believe in the quarterback, Justin Herbert.
You're a Chargers fan for life.
Bolt up, huh?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Langford fan for life, too, I believe. Shout out to Kit and Chip. I haven't heard that song in a minute, but a really fun song for you. I'm going to take the Chargers in this one, too.
I love being on an island. I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just don't trust the offense.
Jets, Jets, Jets.
I don't like Zach Wilson.
Go Chargers, go. Oh, Arnold Schwarzenegger's in the booth tonight.
Yeah,
with Payton and Eli.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe we can get a go Chargers, go.
Can we get one from you? Can we just get one as
we're... That was it.
Get to the job.
Amani Tuma.
I just want to finish this out with some of those. Get to the chopper.
Yeah, it's like me, Arnold. Remember Arnold's Pizza Shop back in the day?
No,
one of the first
I
things
don't.
Ever on the internet.
I don't.
Wait, really?
Look that up. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah. Arnold's Pizza Shop. All right,
I can't tell if I'm being serious or not. Okay, you're being serious?
Yeah, Arnie's Pizza Shop.
Look I'm nervous, but I'll take you at your
Google
word.
It.
We
Enjoy.
Love you guys. Thank you not for hanging out with us. Have fun with Monday Night Football. We'll see you in week 10.
That's tomorrow.
Oh, yeah. We'll see you on Tuesday.
Halfway through the season.
That's right.
What are we doing?
How great is that?
I don't know. Not great to me.
Well, it depends on how good your fantasy team is. Did you draft off of Mike Clay's list, or did you use...
Some of his, yeah.
Yeah, all right. Well, that's tough.
If you need a stick of Tide, Field is your guy. If you're in Bristol or in Farmington, you should find another ride. Candidly, he hates Mike Clay, and you know that it's a fact. Every Yater's gonna Yate, 'cause he's on TV every day. A spicy tomato who's got the stats and tweets that'll make you laugh.
He's our favorite host, and everybody knows his name. He's Field.